Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Lord have mercy, I said, oh, Domino. Romeo, my Romeo, there you go. Say it again. I said, oh, Domino. I said, oh, Domino. Dig it.
7:10 on this Monday edition of Palmetto Mornings. 34 degrees right here on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
Welcome in our listeners on AM 1340. Those listening on the free WRHI app, go ahead and download that app today. Take us everywhere you go. If you're watching us on Corporium Cable Channel 103 as well as Facebook Live, good morning to you there. Our Senator, York County Senator Wes Clymer, joins us here on Palmetto Mornings with an update about what's going on in Columbia. Good morning to you, Senator.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you all
morning,
this morning.
Morning,
hey, you get a gold star for coming in bright and early at 7 o'clock this morning following the Super Bowl. So thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with a bill that you sponsored last year. It passed the Senate last year. Mm-hmm. It passed the Senate again this year. It's repealing Certificate of Need, or CON. Before we get into what happened now, let's bring folks up to speed about why we have a CON and why some, like yourself, are introducing legislation to repeal it.
So South Carolina has a Certificate of Need law because the federal government offered incentives for states to do that back in the 70s. Most states have repealed or substantially curtailed their Certificate of Need laws over the last few decades. South Carolina is still catching up to that. The Certificate of Need is essentially just a permission slip that the government requires before anyone can invest in healthcare facilities or equipment of any size or scale, right? So a new MRI machine, radiation therapy services, a new hospital, outpatient surgery center, anything really that costs more than $600,000 requires a government permission slip. So the reason that's a problem is that let's say, Lucas, you wanted to put in a new MRI machine. Well, your competitor can sue to block you from getting a new MRI machine. And so it's essentially a competitor's veto over healthcare investment. And what we know from our experience with economics generally is if you reduce the supply of something, what happens to the cost? Well, cost goes up, right? So by eliminating the Certificate of Need, you introduce more healthcare supply. There will be a substantial increase in capital investment in healthcare. We'll have more supply. Patients have more choice. Costs come down. It happens every time states repeal Certificate of Need laws, and that's what's about to happen in South Carolina.
So we became familiar with this, with the battle to build, which is now the Fort Mill Hospital.
Yeah, right.
Obviously,
yeah.
In Fort Mill. So Piedmont. It was what? Atrium, but I forgot what it was. Carolina's Medical Center.
It's the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Hospital right. Authority is really the father of the organization. I don't know.
They know everyone on a first name basis. Yes.
Well said. But it was Piedmont and the other two major hospitals in Charlotte all fighting to build the hospital.
Yeah, 18 years.
And that was caught up in the courts for a long time. One would get the Certificate of Need to build. The other two would sue to block it. And then we would go back to ground zero again and then have to build back up along those lines. So this would just get rid, if it passes entirely and it's signed into law, this would get rid of CON in South Carolina?
Substantially.
Okay.
Yeah, so it leaves in place Certificate of Need for nursing homes, which for a lot of reasons is just very complex, and you want a Certificate of Need for nursing homes. But it substantially repeals Certificate of Need. So all the things we just talked about, MRI machines, outpatient surgery centers, all that stuff, there's no Certificate of Need for that.
So it's passed the South Carolina Senate.
This yes, is overwhelmingly bipartisan vote 2 years in a row. And it is now scheduled to be heard in the House of Representatives 3M Committee, Medical, Municipal, Military Committee, I believe on February 21st.
Okay. And this is legislation you helped to sponsor last year and again this year.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. What do you think it's going to do in the House? Do you have any kind of feelers over there? Or
Look, the House has a lot of smart policymakers, and I would imagine they're going to take an independent look at it. They'll probably make some changes, and then it'll be up to the Senate to consider those changes and figure out a way to get this thing over to the governor's desk before the session concludes.
Has the governor weighed in on this? What are his thoughts?
He is a strong supporter of repealing Certificate of Need. His position is almost absolute on the matter in that he wants it just completely repealed and doesn't favor compromise.
So you just need to get it to his desk,
correct.
In your opinion, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're continuing to catch up with Senator Wes Clymer from York County about what's going on this week in Columbia. All right, fentanyl, where do we stand on that? It passed the South Carolina House, kicked it over to the Senate. When are you all going to take that up, and what do you think is going to happen there?
The Senate is slated to take up fentanyl trafficking this week. Mm. And so, you know, there's some sort of legislative, mechanics, right? So the House has passed a bill. The Senate had a standalone bill that was in Senate Judiciary Committee last week or the week before. And so that Senate bill is on the floor. I mean, in my view, we should just get the House bill and pull it out of the Judiciary Committee so that there's a vehicle that's already passed the House that can then go right to the governor's desk. But I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out. So, but fentanyl trafficking bill on the floor. This is a years-long effort to establish a criminal penalty for trafficking in fentanyl that has mandatory minimum stiff penalties so that, you know, Sheriff Tolson and Solicitor Brackett have the tools they need and the authority they need to keep our community safe from the scourge of fentanyl, which we all know is just a horrible epidemic all over the country, but it's especially bad here.
So there is a trafficking drug law for almost all the other drugs. Fentanyl is the last one or the recent one that does not have one. That's why there's such a push right now, right?
Correct, okay. Yes. And then, you know, sort of the conflict, if you will, in the General Assembly is that there is a decent number of legislators in both the House and the Senate who don't believe in the concept of mandatory minimums as a form of punishment. They think in every case, well, the judge should have discretion, which I completely disagree with. We ought to have mandatory minimums on a lot of things, and especially fentanyl. And so there was an effort in prior years where legislators who were against this fentanyl trafficking statute would try to take the penalties and lower them down to the level of, say, you know, possession of marijuana or something. Well, we know that the societal harm caused by trafficking in fentanyl is very different from the societal harm of, you know, somebody who's in possession of marijuana. And so we really do need penalties in place that reflect the severity of the crime and the cost to society of the crime.
All right. And then there's another one. I'm going to say this wrong. Education scholarships.
Accounts. ESAs.
Accounts.
Okay. ESAs.
So let's explain real quick what this is and why there's so much discussion happening in Columbia about this.
So the Senate passed ESA legislation 2 weeks ago. It would provide $6,000 scholarships to parents of children so that they can send their children to the school of their choice. Right. So the pejorative word would be vouchers. I mean, you can call it vouchers if you want to. And so it's $6,000 for parents to send their children wherever they want to go.
Is this any family in South Carolina?
It's not.
Okay, so you have to meet a
so
when threshold.
Yeah, I was really involved in that. When the bill came to the floor, it was eligibility was capped at the Medicaid eligibility, which is essentially $60,000 for a family of four. 200% of federal poverty limit is really the Medicaid cap. In my view, this should be available to every family in South Carolina, regardless of income. It should be universally available, and I absolutely support that. However, in this case, that wasn't going to pass the Senate. And so I offered an amendment to double the eligibility up to 400% of the federal poverty limit. And that amendment squeaked by, and then it got tweaked at the end. So now by year three of full implementation, eligibility is extended to 400% of the federal poverty limit, which is $120,000 for a family of four. Now, I'll say this. There are a lot of legislators who believe, like I do, that this should be available to everyone. And so in future years, there will be renewed interest in expanding the program further.
And is that $6,000 per family or per child?
Per child.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Okay. And so it passed the Senate?
Yes.
And
now it's gone to the House. My understanding, and we'll see what happens, but my understanding is I think the House will likely expand the program more than what passed the Senate.
So it's all about school choice?
School choice, yeah. I mean, every parent, regardless of income, ought to have the same opportunity to send their child where they want to go, you know, just as we do in this room. And so I've been a longtime supporter of school choice programs. It's great. Look, one of the things, and I just want to raise this briefly, this is one of the best things we can do to help teachers. And I tell you what, right now, so we know that when there's a monopoly, right, a monopoly is a bad thing. Monopoly is when there's, you know, one seller of a service. Right, there's only one producer of oil, for example. We know that would be a bad monopoly. Monopsony is when there's only one buyer of something. So it's just like a monopoly, except there's just one buyer. And so when there's only one buyer of a good or service, those who bring that good or service into the market have no leverage. They have no negotiating power because there's not an alternative, you know, buyer that you can sell your product or service to. And so as there are more and more robust buyers of education services in the marketplace, teachers have much more negotiating power over their wages, over their work environments, over the culture of their schools, so on and so forth. When you give teachers more choices, they have more leverage. And so in the end, this is one of the best things we could do to improve the quality of teachers' lives in our state. And so I'm really excited to see this play out. And the more robust the program is over time, the more robust those second and third order effects are as it relates to creating a true marketplace around the delivery of education in South Carolina.
All right. Real quick, the former governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, is going to make an announcement allegedly this week that she is going to run for president. Are you going to be down there?
I'm going to try to go.
Okay.
I don't want to miss the debate on the fentanyl bill, so I have to see sort of what, you know, what's going on the floor. But yes, I'm going to go down there. I've been a longtime friend and fan of Nikki Haley's. I'm thrilled she's throwing her hat in the ring to run for president. She can absolutely do the job. And I'm really excited to help her out on her campaign.
Fantastic.
Sounds good.
South Carolina Senator, York County Senator, Wes Clymer with an update about what's going on in Columbia. Thanks so much, Senator. We appreciate it.